Amen. Let's take a seat. Thank you so much, team. So brilliant to be able to declare, as Tomo has already been saying, to be able to declare at this time the truth of who Jesus is. You know, to a world who was watching so eagerly, we have a presence with us and among us and through us that speaks hope and love and light into our world. So Christmas is an amazing time. Brado can't be with us this morning. He's at a soccer match with Max in Newcastle. And soccer is Max's life. And it's good to be able to empower Brado to go and be a part of that. You know, that's what I love about Brett and Jen. They're both parents, and their marriage comes almost before the church. Well, it does, and that's a good thing. So us be able to release them to be mums and dads of their own kids before they are leaders of us. And they're doing such an incredible job of leading two snot-nosed teenagers. You know what I'm saying? I had them both in youth ministry from when they were like this big to this big, and I know what they're like. And these guys are resilient, and it's good. It's good to be able to let Brett go and be dad every now and again on a Sunday morning. So let's be in prayer for Brett and Jen. They're going on holidays for a little bit. Brett turns 50 on January the 6th, and the 8th of January, and on the 10th of January, there's going to be a big lunch, and we're going to celebrate Brett-o, and he's going to preach. It also marks his 15th year as senior pastor here at Kingsway, so it's going to be a big shebang on January 10, so come and... Currently, he is the longest-serving Churches of Christ pastor. There you go. There's one for the stat book. If you're into your stats, there you go. Now, I love this time of year. I love every day in our household. We're doing the Advent calendar thing. And I know Kim and Avril worked hard at this Jesse tree situation that goes on where they, every day have their little package. They pull off the thing, and then in there there's a little token that tells part of the Christmas story. And also with that, in our family comes a present every day for the kids. Now, before you get too carried away thinking how loaded is Dave and Elise, this isn't the case, because they get a book, right? They get a book every day. And Rocky's pretty dialed into the whole thing now. They get the little thing off the tree and they run into our room and we open it together, and Elise writes on the little card a clue. It might be where the girls aren't allowed. And bang, they know that's the shed. And so they'll go down and they'll find the presents in the shed, or they'll, you know, or this is where Santa's going to leave cool things, and you know, it's kind of under the Christmas tree. Anyway, off Rocky, you know, he's dialed in. He knows what's coming. He goes and finds the book. Anyway, Poppy, she's new to the whole situation. When she last Christmas, she was too small to understand. This year, she's switched right onto it. Right, she'll hop up and she'll scurry in and follow Rocky in to wherever he thinks this clue is going to be. And surely enough, as sure as the sun rises, they come back with a book each. Hers is pink and Rocky's is blue, not to be stereotypical in our household, but that's how the wrapping just worked. Anyway, they come on back and they sit down, and Rocky knows exactly the shape, the feel. He did this last year, and which, by the way, they are the same books from last year. Lucky he's got a memory of his dad. It saves us a lot of cash. So it's the same books as last year. But Poppy, every day, Rocky knows what to do, but Poppy, she sits on our bed of the thing, and she's still at the motor skills aren't really refined yet, and she gets little bit by little bit, and it takes her about 5 minutes to unwrap the thing, and there's paper all through our bed everywhere. And it's not until the very last pieces, she's seen the whole thing unfolding, until she gets the last piece off, she holds it in her hand and she yells, "Book!" And she just has this, it happened yesterday, sweetie, it happened the day before, but the surprise on her face when she opens this gift is nothing but pure and priceless. Just to see the joy on her face, and as we unwrap a presence of a different kind coming into Christmas, I've been reminded to be a little bit more like Poppy. That we'd be expecting to be surprised every day by his presence, regardless of the familiarity of the story that comes around year after year. So my invitation to you is to come with us over the next 2 weeks, to come expecting to be surprised by God, because the greatest gift that God gives us is not in what he does, but in who he is, and there is always more of him to know. So this is our belief. This is what we stand upon. This is our conviction, if you like, of who the person and nature of God is this Christmas. And this is how we take shape of our preaching series this week, next week, and over the Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. That firstly, that God is profoundly personal, that he's present in us. Secondly, that he's powerfully practical, that he's present through us, and that he's deeply communal, that he's present with us. So this week we are looking at God's presence in us. Tomo will look at his presence, that's Christmas, with us. But Bretto gets to speak next week on his presence through us. So it's going to be a great couple of weeks. I hope you can be with us for all of them. But let's pray before we dive into the scriptures this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Father, that you would count us worthy to make your home among us and in us. And Father, we pray that as we open your scriptures, as we get a clearer look of who you are, that we would indeed have a revelation of Jesus that we may not have had before. That you would show us who you are more fully and more clearly. That our hearts, God, would resonate with the Spirit within. That we may become more fully alive in you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to have a look at the chapters in John. Chapter 13, 14, 15, 16. I hope you haven't got lunch plans. But this is a really cool passage of scripture. I know a few years ago, Bretto preached through it really strongly for a number of months. But what I love about this scripture is the context in which it happens. You know, this is an incredible discourse that Jesus has with his disciples. It starts with the Passover meal where Jesus afterwards washes his disciples' feet. And it's an opportunity for Jesus to speak into the future about where he was going, about what they can expect, about life, what life was going to be like when he leaves them. And it gave the disciples a chance to start asking questions in all of the uncertainty of what was going on. They didn't have really a clear picture. They couldn't grab hold of what Jesus was saying. The words that were coming from his mouth seemed too far for them to grab hold of. So he offered them a chance to ask questions. At which in 14, 15, 16 becomes the dialogue of Jesus answering the questions that these disciples had. You know, it started, Peter opens the question account with this, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus responds to him and says, where I'm going is not a place for you just now, but shortly it will be. And then Thomas, he didn't really kind of get it either. And he pipes in and asks again the same question, but with an extra question as well. He asked Jesus, where are you going and how will we know how to find you? To which Jesus gives him the I am the way, the truth and the life spiel. And then pipes in Philip and says, just show us the Father and that will be enough. And Jesus responds and says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then the fourth question that Jesus gets asked is by Judas, not Judas Iscariot, the disciple who betrayed him, but Judas, who was also known as Thaddeus. He was a disciple of Jesus. He asked him this question. And this is where we find our shape for this morning's word. He says this, in John chapter 14, verse 22, Judas said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? If I could paraphrase, he says this, Lord, given that you're telling us that you're shooting through soon, but not to stress too much because you're going to be still kind of somehow with us, how is it exactly that we'll know you're present? In the past, your dad did the whole cloud and fire and smoke and burning bush thing to let us know that he was present. What can we expect? What cool signs can we expect of your presence? So as we delve into the scripture today, there's six ways that I want to suggest that Jesus, from Jesus' response, that we can expect to experience him as a profoundly personal presence. That we can expect to experience him as a profoundly personal presence. And so I'm taking snippets, a little bit from John 14, a little bit from John 15, and a snippet from John 16. But I encourage you this week, go and spend some time and read all of these chapters in their fullness and see how Jesus unwraps this picture of who he is and what to expect and what we can expect too of his presence within us. So let's get cracking. Jesus' opening words in response to Judas's question. And he says, Jesus, how are we going to know that you're present? How are you going to manifest yourself to us? When you leave and you tell us you're departing to go to the Father, how is it that we'll know that you're with us? A great question. And here's the first of the six. Jesus answers him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and the Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. What good news. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear from is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things, Jesus says, I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the helper, I like this, the helper. The word here in the Greek is parakletos, one who is called alongside. Jesus says, the helper, the one who will come alongside you, the one who will assist you, the one who will lead you, will come alongside. His name is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So you will know his profound personal presence by this, experiencing a divine inner help. Now, if you're taking notes this morning, the first way that I want to suggest to us this morning from Scripture is that we will know his deeply and profound personal presence is that we will experience a divine inner help. 2 weeks ago, I had the privilege of being with Baz Porter and the Praxis crew down at Waymount Farm for their final examinations and assessment for their kids who had done 2 years of their diploma in ministry, and got a brilliant opportunity just to hear all of the students who had done their second year put together a portfolio of their work in youth work, and we got to read through that, and then we interviewed them for about half an hour and got to, you know, Shark Tank, the TV show. It was kind of like we were Shark Tank. We got to grill them and drill them and ask them questions about all of the youth work theories and all of the things they'd learned, understood, and had they applied them. And so many of the kids were just brilliant. You know, what God was doing in them was fantastic. And there came this one young guy who was so passionate about God. He was so passionate about ministry. He was telling the story of how he'd been mentoring two young guys in separate instances over the last 12 months. And he used that relationship to speak of his learnings and all of these things. But he was so passionate, but unfortunately, the role I was put in to assess these kids, passion wasn't necessarily the only criteria that these kids had to be passed on. And unfortunately for this young guy, there was his presentation and his understanding and all of these things. It got to a point where myself and his oversight team had to make a really tough decision and say, "Look, you're doing some great things here, but we can't pass you at a diploma level." And you can imagine for a kid who's in his young 20s to have worked for 2 years, to sit around a table with his work in front of him that he'd poured himself into, to be able to say that, we really, and if you can imagine the weight of the situation, the oxygen was kind of sucked out of the room and he began to cry. He was quite grieved that this was the outcome of the thing. And in that moment, you know, those awkward moments where you just have the God on speed dial kind of prayers. You know, Father, I just need words right now to give to this kid. And there was nervousness, there was uncertainty, but within just a moment, and I claim none of this of myself, words just started coming to me. I felt the Spirit prompting me to affirm who he is and what he's been doing, and the outcome of this course doesn't define who he is in Christ. And some of the stories he was telling, I retold to him of his overcoming and his resilience and all these things. And at the end, this kid left more aware of God being present with him than had we have even given him a diploma. And it was this moment where the Holy Spirit quickened my spirit. I don't know whether you've had this before, where you've been in a time of intensity, a time of uncertainty, a time maybe where you've sat with a friend in grief, maybe where you've been in a conversation where you haven't got the answers, but you feel the promptings of the Holy Spirit within. And Jesus, he promises his disciples that he would send the helper. And so I'd say to us this morning that one of the most empowering truths that we have is that we get to experience a divine inner help that comes only from the Holy Spirit. So you will know he is present through the perfectly timed, deep inner help that comes from nowhere but heaven. And Jesus continues to answer Judas. And this is where we find our second point this morning. To the answer of the question, how is it that we'll know you're present? Jesus responds with the scripture in John 14, verse 27 to 29. He says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so then when it does take place, you may believe." So here's the second thing of how we know that God is present within us, that you will experience inner peace, which is the antithesis of fear. Jesus' words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." I love the nature of the peace he gives. Firstly, it's a gift, something to be left for us. But it's also something that isn't just laid on the table for us to go and take, but he hands it to us. There is an empowerment of his peace that leads us to some very cool things. You see, this peace is not like that of our world where it's found in something or somewhere external. Peace that is not found in a place that we go to or in something that we acquire. Not peace that the world gives. The peace that he gives is not a political proposition or the result of some kind of military intervention, nor the strategic global partnerships that would try and promote peace and calm around our globe. No, this peace is the person, Jesus. In fact, his forever name is the Prince of Peace, and he inhabits our earthly bodies and our eternal spirits. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and we read this at Christmas, and it speaks clearly of who he is. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." His peace, I believe, extends beyond the reaches of our troubles. It outruns our fears in a foot race every day of the week. Where strife in life may choke and hold us down, his peace releases and frees. When we tremble afraid, he stands within to strengthen. His name is peace, and he's chosen to make his home in me. I want you to say this with me, that peace has made his home in me. Let's say that together. Peace has made his home in me. Wow. What if that's the message that we carried this Christmas into this season of busyness, of hurriedness, of so much happening, Christmas parties and events and holidays, and what if we just stop and take stock of the moment? Say, peace, not peace as the world gives, but the person, the Prince of Peace, has made his home in me. Wow. So how will you experience or know that God is a profoundly personal presence? You will experience a peace like none other. You will have a true encounter with the man named Peace. His name is Jesus. And Jesus carries on answering Judah's question, how, Jesus, will we know that you're present? How will you manifest yourself to us? By what will we see? What can we grab hold of to know that you're with us? He carries on in John 15. We are now verse 5 to 8. He says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." And I would say this is the third thing we can look at today as evidence that he is a profoundly personal presence, is that we will experience an inner fruitfulness. An inner fruitfulness. that from our place of abiding and his choice of residing, that our lives will begin inevitably to produce wonderful fruit. Let me ask you a question. What do you notice about yourself when you're aware of how filled with his presence you are? What do you notice about yourself when you are aware of his presence within? Do you become more patient? Are you less likely to road rage? Do you become more compassionate? Do you become more caring? You can answer that question yourself. Or conversely, what do you notice about yourself when you feel like the river of his presence has all but dried up? Do you become more easily angered? Do you become much quicker to be upset at the world? Are you less likely to forgive? You see, when we're aware that God is present with us, there is direct and daily implications for the way we live. There is no escaping that truth. The evidence of his presence in us is that our mindsets, our attitudes, our perspective of ourselves and towards others become more aligned to God's. The evidence of his presence within is that we start walking and talking more like Jesus. So what kind of fruit is your life producing right now? What kind of fruit is your life producing right now? Because this, the person you desire to be can only be birthed from his power and presence within. It's not something we can go and learn at school. Who we are to become fully alive in Christ isn't something we can just pick up the next how-to book. But who we are truly called to be is birthed from his power and presence within. And I think this is a cool thing. The thing about a fruitful life is this, is that people notice when a life is fruitful or not. This week I was just having coffee with Kimmy Dixon and we were just talking life and ministry and drinking good coffee around the corner. And you know, she just made a comment of, gee, Elise looks really well. And it's kind of it was like well beyond the pregnant glow kind of well, you know, and I just stopped for a second. I didn't really know how to respond, and just straight away I went, you know what? I think it's because of this. Every morning, Elise goes to work at 6 a.m. She's up an hour before now. She goes down to the beach and she swims, even if it's raining, and she spends time with Jesus by the sea for an hour, three mornings a week. And I said, maybe that's probably what's going on here. She's like, yeah, I think you're probably right. And you see, when the fruit of our lives starts becoming evident, when we become recognizing of God's presence within, as we take time in the mornings or in the evenings or wherever it may be, and we bring ourselves before the Lord and say, God, you are so present within me. What is it that you have for me today? What do you want to speak to me? Lord, show me more of who you are today. And that presence within bears fruit and people notice. So when we choose to abide in the already present and ever-present God within, our lives produce Jesus-flavored, kingdom-shaped fruit that cause people to hunger after it. And what if the fruit that was born from the presence within was something that caused people to hunger after more of who he is? That's what I believe the church is called to be. An incredible tree of strength that shows Jesus-shaped and oriented fruit that causes a community around it to hunger. Jesus continues his answer to Judas's question in John chapter 15, verse 11. These things, he says, I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. What I love here is when we read the word joy, John's audience would have been reading the word kara, which we get designed charismatic and carrot, and that's not true. Which literally kara means actually gladness and delight. So maybe to paraphrase Jesus' remark, I'm speaking of my presence in this way so that my gladness and delight would be in you, so that you would be bursting and full of gladness and delight. So how will we know that Jesus is a personal, profoundly personal presence within? that you'll experience a rich inner delight. It all sounds like life will be rainbows and unicorns, really, doesn't it? But Jesus, who's ever said this? If only you knew what I was going through right now. And how do we reconcile these two realities? That Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and as scripture transcends time from them to us, that he promises that he is going to give us his joy, that our joy may be full, but yet Jesus, life just sucks right now. To quote a guy, Robert Schuller, he says this, "Joy is not the absence of suffering, it is the presence of God." Joy is not the absence of suffering, it is the presence of God. So the fluid nature of our emotions and our experiences often becomes our barometer of joy. You know, if I'm feeling really well and things are going good, my joy level is on an upward trajectory. Or conversely, if I'm having a hard time, things at home or work or relationally or whatever may be heading south, then so too the level of joy in my life goes south also. But the foundational truth on which we stand is that Jesus' presence within us is a glad and delighted presence despite our present reality. That Jesus stands as a loving Father in the midst of our suffering, not always or necessarily to alleviate it, but to show us more of himself in it. It's in his joyous presence within that he can whisper, that we can whisper, be it even through tear-filled pain of where we are right now, that God is still and always great. Psalm 16 verse 11 says this, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So how do we know he's in us? What evidence do we have that he is a profoundly personal God who dwells within? Even when it sucks, it hurts, it's confusing, and life hits unexpected turbulence, we have a deep well of rich inner delight from which to drink and find refreshment. Man, there's good news this Christmas time, that we have a well so deep that we can drink from it and be refreshed. Even in the midst of our suffering is a presence called joy. And he, his name, is Jesus. Two more to go. So far, Jesus says that we'll know he's profoundly, personally present in us through experiencing an inner help, an inner peace, an inner fruitfulness, and an inner delight. Further, he adds to his goodness by this. John 15, verse 12 to 15. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love have no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Wow. What an incredibly contrasting picture of often what we're conditioned to believe about who God is. And for reasons that we won't go into now, but how often is it that we feel the presence of an inner condemner? Or feel the presence of an inner accuser? Or feel the presence of an inner opponent? Someone who is against us. Someone who is out to tell us that we've done it wrong. Or that we're not measuring up. Or that we shouldn't have done this. Yes, the Holy Spirit, he comes to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment, and he has a work that causes us to repent and find truth in Jesus and to run back to him. But man, the personal nature of God, the present nature of God is not that of accuser, is not that of condemner, is not that of an opponent. But Jesus in his word tells us that he calls us friends. In my experience, if the devil can rob you of friendship with Jesus, he robs us of all we have. Because it's from a place of pursuing friendship that Jesus died. It's from a deep place of pursuing friendship that he got up out of the grave and was brought to life. It's from a place of friendship that his heart eagerly desires to pursue and set us free. It's from friendship that he makes his Father known to us. So how do we know that he is a profoundly personal presence within? That you'll experience a steady and adventurous inner friendship. An unrelenting presence of a friend who pursues you for you. He's not interested in the work of your hand, though he empowers and he blesses it and calls us to be fruitful and work hard. But the pursuit of Jesus, the inner presence that wants to be our friend, he pursues us for us. That we would know him, that we would be reconciled to the Father. I mean, we could go on. John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 is littered with such incredible language in full high definition of who Jesus is. But we're going to close out with this last one. John 16, verse 12 to 15. I apologize for the kind of skipping a couple of passages through here, but go back and read them yourselves. They're beautiful. John 16, 12 to 15. When the Spirit of truth comes, Jesus says, this is in response to Judas' question of how are we going to know that you're present with us, that you're manifest with us after you're gone. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare it to you, the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Three times, Jesus makes this statement that he will take what is the Father's and declare it to us. The last evidence that I would want to take from Jesus' discourse here of how we know he's a profoundly personal presence within is that you'll experience fresh revelation of God. You'll experience fresh understanding, fresh revelation, fresh knowing of God. And here's the grace and generosity of our God, that he would invite us into the divine community of Father and Spirit and Son, that he wouldn't just make available the truth of himself. No, it's more than that. It is a here, dear, want it. He chooses to declare what is on the heart of the Father, that what is the stirrings of the Son, the Spirit takes and declares to us. And sometimes when I find myself in quietness and solitude with God, I find myself sometimes falling into the trap of having to look under every little rock and between every little word and from page to page going, God, where are you? But no, how will we know he's with us? As a profoundly personal presence, we will awake in the morning and there'll be a declaration afresh of who he is. That in the times of prayer that we have, in the reading of the scripture, in the interactions we have with our friends and our family, as we enjoy his creation, as we go about our lives, when we know he's present in us, we start having a clearer picture and understanding of this is pointing to Jesus. Lamentations 3:22, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great God is your faithfulness. Each day as we rise and draw breath, the certainty of his presence is promised. And with that, fresh, new, never experienced before revelation is shouted from the heavens. Are you poised to hear it? Is your heart ready to hear the declaration from heaven that Jesus has for you today? Because that's how we'll know that he's a profoundly personal presence. That when we sit here in worship, when we take communion, when we pray alongside one another, when we reach out to our neighbours and our friends in need, when we deliver hampers, when we do barbecues and wrapping gifts, when we spend time in prayer and worship and fasting and reading the scripture, that we are poised to hear the declaration of the Spirit giving us words of life from heaven. Are you ready to hear it? I'm going to invite the band to come back up, and I'll get everyone to stand with us as well at the same time, just so there's not a few awkward people standing up on their own. Let's all stand. Now, I believe at times we often need different parts of who God is. I mean, we have all of Him. The promise in Scripture is that we receive all that is the kingdom. When we confess Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, that He dwells within, and we have full access to who God is and the benefits that come with that. But at times I know in life that there are certain aspects of who the Father is and who the Son is and who the Spirit is that maybe we require more of. And so this morning, I want to give us an invitation before we close with a song of praise and worship that if you feel that you need to experience at a deeper and richer level this morning, a deep personal presence of God, the presence of an inner help. Maybe you're facing something at the moment that you are completely uncertain what to do and what to say. And the personal, profound presence of Jesus by His Spirit this morning wants to make Himself known to you and help guide you through that. Maybe there's an inner turmoil that you face just now, that around that is so much uncertainty and confusion, and the profound personal presence within the Holy Spirit. He wants to come and bring an inner peace and remind you in this season, in this time, in this moment, that peace is not something found out there, but it is the person and nature of the Prince of Peace within. That despite what we may face, that He stands in that place as the Prince of Peace. Maybe you feel at the moment that there is a fruitlessness about your life. That maybe you feel that there is something missing, there is a lack, there is something hindering what God is trying to achieve within you. And today you are hungering to live a life that is fruitful. Maybe there is a robbing of joy and there needs to be a restoration of inner delight. Maybe you feel that God may be distant, that the friendship that you so desire with God is not within, but today He wants to refresh with you by the power of His profound personal presence within, a deep inner friendship with you. Or maybe you feel that you're feeding off yesterday's manna, the bread that God spoke to you a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago, heck, even a couple of years ago, that you have this sense at which God maybe has been silent, that He hasn't desired to speak or that He doesn't want to speak. I want to silence that truth now in Jesus' name and say that He has fresh revelation to declare to you of who He is this morning. And so there's many things here, those six things, an inner help, an inner peace, an inner fruitfulness, an inner delight, an inner friendship, or an inner revelation. I mean, it's kind of a preacher's playground if you're going to call a ministry for that, because you'd get whole church down here. We're not going to do that. If you feel that you want to just be touched by the Holy Spirit and be awoken within by His presence, I want you to put your hand up where you are, and I'm going to pray for you just here this morning. If there's any of those things that are resonating within, I'm just going to pray a prayer of blessing that God would meet you where you are this morning. So Father, You see every hand that is lifted. You know every situation. You know every pain, every hurt, every anxiety. You know every illness. You know every situation. You are sovereign, and we appeal to that right now in Jesus' name. That though we don't understand what surrounds us, we know, God, that You have it in control. And God, there are no fancy words that I can say to stir up anything within, but God, we know that it is by Your Holy Spirit, a gift given to us by the Father to empower us, to fill us with peace and help and guidance and fruitfulness and delight in the hard times and friendship in the lone times and revelation in the quiet times. Jesus, I pray right now that there would be declarations from heaven into the hearts of everyone who stands here this morning and desires it. Father, we thank You for the mystery of Your presence. We don't understand it, but we love You all the more for it. God, may a delight stir up in Your people right now as You speak, as You heal, as You refresh. as you make yourself known in the most inner parts of who we are, that you are indeed a deeply and profoundly personal presence within. So, Father, we thank you so much. And we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen.